Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
you got it!
It's time for episode 611 of Who Charted, the show where comedians discuss the top 5 songs and movies of the week. Congratulations, you have reached Checkpoint Emmys, Emmy Awards, and Pigskin as we head towards summer 2023. I'm your host, H. Michael Cray, chart Linklater, Howard Kramer. What's up, star?
How's it going, man? Did you catch the Emmys?
No.
You watch any of it?
I actually thought it was this coming week, so thank you for letting me know.
Okay. Well, it was, I don't know. I'm not that into award shows. There was no slap moment.
No, yeah.
I missed the slap. You know, I need that now every awards.
Gotta have something. A slap, a spit. There's gotta be something.
Although, I guess, like, do you see the thing with Jimmy Kimmel? He just laid down. He did some bit, and then he overdid it, and he laid down. He was just laying down on stage while Quinta Brunson like won her big award, and it kind of ruined her moment.
Right.
So he's under fire for that.
That's called pulling focus in my biz.
Yeah.
And also, hey, this is our tribute episode, RIP QE2, the Queen, Mom.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
Passed on.
RIP, as chartists know. Since Howard and I watched The Crown, we have become ardent monarchists.
Huge monarchists. Bring back Tommy Lashell. Get this whole thing going.
We need him more than ever because, you know, they're probably spinning right now.
Right.
Elizabeth was beloved, and now we got to get King Charles in there, and they're going to have to keep things tight for this thing to hold together.
They do. And you know, it's weird saying king. I don't like it. I want to go back to God Save the Queen. I'm not saying something should happen to him, but it doesn't feel right saying king. And then I know they postponed all the soccer games in England this past week, the English Premier games, but they did play the cricket games. And there was this woman who came out to sing, you know, God Save the King.
Yeah.
For the cricket match, it was this big emotional moment because it was like the first kind of public gathering and acknowledgement of it. But even she said she was so worried about saying queen instead of king that she learned the song brand new again. Like she learned it as a new piece of music just to make sure
really?
She wouldn't fuck up and say queen. Because it's just in everybody, you know, everybody's been saying it that way their whole lives. I thought that was interesting.
It's a mind-bogglingly long run as queen.
Incredible.
I mean, it's almost surreal to think about.
Yeah, and we were saying that off mic, but saying that, wow, the longest run or the greatest run ever in the history of monarchs as far as music, the music that came out under her reign cannot be touched. I mean, it's just basically 80 years of greatness. So
right. She was there. She launched the Beatles, the whole British invasion. I mean, you name it.
Second wave, the punk, everything
all the punk
was under her.
You got to credit her for not getting in the way of any of that. She allowed it to flourish.
That's a mother for you. See, the king, I don't know. They could be headed down the toilet already.
That's right.
Yeah. Which we'll get to more of that later on. But why don't we bring in our guest? Here he comes now, returning back to the charts. You know him from Man Dog Pod, the improv and conversation podcast, and biggrandewebsite.com. Here he comes now. It's Dan Lippert.
Yes, sir. Yeah. God save the king. God save the king.
Oh, yes. God save the king. Nice
job. Said it right.
I had to relearn how to come on to podcasts so that I would do it the right way.
That's from all podcasts now. You got to come on. God save the king.
Yeah. Have you guys all seen the footage where he's fussing over, you know, moving the stuff on his desk?
No.
Yeah.
It's not a good look for the new king.
Oh, it's just very unpresidential.
Well, like, no, he comes to the desk and you can tell this is a man who has never had to lift a finger for anything.
Right.
And there's just a couple things like cluttering the desk he has to sign all the papers on. And he's pointing at the thing like for an assistant to just move a thing 4 inches. And he's making this face like, come on, like move this thing.
In a way, though, it's a bit like telepathy. When you're that powerful, you just get other people to move things by making a face.
Yeah.
And this is Diana's dad?
Yeah. No, no.
No, no, no. Ex-husband.
Diana's ex-husband, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. He's just, he was a little older than her.
Right.
Yeah. But he came in. And even while he was with Diana, he was always in love with Camilla. And mm-hmm. then after a while, they let him marry Camilla. And so she will be the queen consort.
Queen consort, I believe.
It sounds like consultant. And it sounds like it is kind of the same thing. Like,
yeah. I mean, that basically means she's the queen, but like she's not the focus.
She doesn't get the title. She doesn't get the keys to the Buckingham Palace.
Right. And apparently they gave the corgis to Prince Andrew.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you see that?
Yeah, that's odd.
Is there a ceremony for that?
I thought
the passing of the corgis. Yeah.
They pass him the corgis. Yeah,
these are your corgis. You know, she had about 40 of them during her reign. So these are just kind of the last two.
I know the era of the corgi is over. You know, I always thought like that. Oh, that just must be a traditionally royal dog. But right. No, it's just only Elizabeth. Yeah, she created that whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah. I mean, traditionally royal for our lifetime and our parents.
Right. True. Yeah, and they're associated now with royal blood.
Wally is pretty bummed about that, I got to tell you.
Is he?
Yeah, how do you take the news?
Is he British?
Well, I mean, he's a corgi, so he felt aristocratic. Okay, but now, you know, he feels like his stock is going down.
Yeah, but does he say king when he barks?
Yeah, yeah, he says God save the king, of course. Did you see there's like a little, I think Prince Andrew was in some sort of procession or something.
Oh, and he got heckled?
He got heckled by this one guy and he's going, you know, you're a disgusting old man or something. And the whole crowd, I got to say, this is very creepy and it feels like medieval. Like you can see how people think in like European old society, but they all just start drowning him out with God save the king,
nice.
God save the king, like actively drowning him out with just pure.
You know, I
worship.
Was thinking about it because I hadn't seen the clip, but I was like, that's total fascism because that guy got arrested.
Yeah.
Which is complete, you know, against freedom of speech. It's fascist. But then I thought to myself, like from watching The Crown so many times, like, we're not having that. We'll have none of that.
Yeah. You know, like, right. Not the time. Not the time.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Surprised they didn't just club them.
That's the funniest thing on Twitter, like with the King Charles stuff of him being clearly like a dick. All the British commenters are going, hey, take it easy. He just lost his mother. You have no idea how it feels
to lose his mom
in a time like this. And now he's got to sign the papers. Like,
so funny when people choose to be empathetic.
Right. Yeah, I know.
it's a soap opera, you know, when they've just, you know, they're invested in them like TV characters.
Right. He's probably been like waiting anxiously for this moment for 40 years.
Right on. Well, let's hope he doesn't fuck up podcasting because she gave us podcasting. A personal thank you to her for that.
That's true. Yeah. And, she never stopped innovating, really.
Yeah. So let's make sure that it flourishes under the king as well. All right.
I just think people want to look behind the curtain of all their favorite actors and comedians.
Perhaps they'll talk topical things sometimes. A bit of riffing.
It'll be like you're hanging out with them.
I prefer old Marin.
Have you seen his new TikToks?
By the way, Marc Maron, I went to Pavement this last weekend. I saw Pavement.
Holy shit, Megan of Griftors, Megan Beth Keister, she went all three nights.
Oh, was she there? Okay. Yeah. That's interesting. Did you go? I went on Saturday night.
Is that night three?
I'm not sure. I think it might have been night three.
Okay.
But I went with Will Hines, friend of the charts.
Shout out.
And he goes, before we even went there, because I'm not like 100% a Pavement guy, but I like them and respect them and wanted to check them out. And he goes, just to let you know, you're going to see a lot of people who look exactly my age in the same sort of like vibe as me, like a lot of like dudes, you know,
Malcolmist types.
Right. And then we were there and we were saying to each other, like, in this crowd right now, like, how many records do you think there are? Like the record collections, like these are big vinyl collector types.
Yeah.
But then as right as,
free vibes.
Well, as we were talking about that, I look and in the sort of that, almost the royal seat, you know, like the Lincoln seat of the theater, is Marc Maron. Ah. He's like grooving out to Pavement. And I'm like, that's exactly the dude.
Yep.
He's a big vinyl guy.
And he needed to sit close enough that they might invite him up to play some greasy licks.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen your night, did it? No, I don't know.
No.
I don't think they brought him up.
No, but,
yeah, she bought all kinds of merch. She said they were a formative band for her. So yeah, you were in there with you were probably the only non-committal person there. Like it seems like a show.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody there is way into it. And then she was saying at the end of the last show that he said, hey, this will probably be our last show in LA. Like we're kind of done after this.
Oh, wow. Well, I didn't pick that up. He might have said that. I somehow didn't get it. But that's interesting. They seem like they had a great time and were like it was a special show for them. So
it was funny if it was like because the show went poorly and he was like, you know what, guys, this is probably the last time we're going to perform. Guys,
not all your fault. Maybe it's us, but this is our last time.
This wasn't very good.
You know, we do great shows up in Stockton. We come down here. It's always a slog.
It's really funny to see that fan base. Like as we all age and it's like everyone now wants to be comfortable more than necessarily they want to just go to some sweaty show.
Mm-hmm. So just you saying they were like, selling Crocs at the merch booth?
Yeah, they might as well have. But like just like older dudes like still grooving out, but maybe back in the day were like trying to more mosh and get down there, but just like sitting comfortably. But one dude I noticed just took his shirt off all the way off. But then just sat in his chair the whole time.
He had the energy to get that far in the process.
Right, he was pumped inside. And then he was like, wait, we're not all doing this? Okay, I'll just sit down.
Hey, well, also across town that very same night, or those very same nights, Duran Duran was doing a run of shows at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, yeah, and Lady Gaga was doing her thing at Dodger Stadium.
Wow.
Wow.
It's a big
musical.
Anyone in LA with any sort of taste could have gotten their rocks off seriously. That weekend, I guess. And I missed out on all three.
That was more for guys who look like Bradley Cooper to just hang out and beam at her as if they're in love.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like he was doing in that movie. Speaking of movies or the
music,
let's check out the music chart. Music. We used to play LPs, 8 tracks, cassettes, and CDs. Now we download and we stream. What's next? NFTs? Tunes.
Tunes.
Right on. Well, what chart do we have this week?
All right. I got
this. Is our RIP. This is our Queen tribute chart.
Queen tribute. This is the Shazam chart.
Right on. You know, she kept an eye on things just as Shazam. You know, keeps in a ear to
you
things.
Know what? Should I do a chart transplant and do the British chart?
You could do that, but I also have
do that very fast.
I got a British music transplant as well, so.
Okay.
We'll be in good shape.
All right. Well, yeah, let's just do all UK. This is the Apple Music UK chart.
Right on. And everyone there, you know, is greatly affected. Most people anyway. And this is, you know, a chance for them to shine right here on Who Charted.
It is interesting to me to see, like, you know, Mick Jagger and like, I even saw Ritchie Blackmore, like the, all these old elder, you know, like rock gods. And they are just clearly like tearful and emotional of their queen. Yeah. Like, you think they would have protests, you know, or like would be anti that. But no, they're swept away.
I think by the time you become an elder rock star, you've had one of the best lives England could afford anyone. You know, it's like that country's been good to them under her reign. So
that's true. She taught Ritchie Blackmore all those licks.
Yeah. Even Johnny Rotten's into her now. So.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Like he says now he's
he's into Trump too. So, so you can't keep track of him.
Yeah.
I'm actually not an anarchist.
Yeah. I mean, that is insane that he would be.
I'm not an anarchist. right. But I will say God Save the Queen. The first time I ever became aware of that phrase was from the Sex Pistols song. So that's my introduction. I learned everything else after the fact. So shout out to that little piece of musical history as we now get into our chart.
Coming in at number five.
Number five.
This is LF System with Afraid to Feel.
Holy shit. Wow. That's a super sped up disco track.
That is really sped up.
That's like they're sad. They want to go back in time to when the queen was a younger woman in the 70s, but then they're also like fucked up on meth or something. I don't know what's going on. They're torn over there. They're taking this hard.
I it's hard to picture like really good dancing to that, even though it's such a dance track.
Yeah, you like just tried to keep up with.
Right.
Yeah. It's kind of like that other, that donk stuff. They love beats that are crazy fast. They love super fast rapping. They really speed it up over there. They sped up the blues. I mean, that's their tradition.
I mean, it's a go, go, go culture.
True. They got that train that goes right to Paris. I mean,
they got to work off all those fish and chips.
Yeah.
You got to go.
That song really just sounds like they put their record player on the wrong RPM.
Yeah.
Yeah. Including the vocals.
I felt like an old man hearing it.
All right. Coming in at number four.
Number four.
Burna Boy with Last Last. Choco Power for the present. Nothing to discuss, cause I did win by default and without any doubt, though. I'm a me, I be a dog, though. I no go feed the girl, I no go feed the girl, it's out, though. I'm a mind that's you the dog,
I know the queen was, the queen was holding out. She was trying to hold out until this got to number one, Burna Boy. But sadly, she didn't make it.
Man, it's really like an alternate universe on this chart.
It is. I can understand now why we don't go to it often.
I kind of liked it. I kind of like that one, at least.
I like it, too. But it does feel like a visit to a land where, you know, why are people wearing that? Why do they talk that way?
You know, it's funny on the CBB tour, which Dan was on for a good stretch there.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. But, what was your favorite city, Dan?
Like the show wise or like the city to be in?
Or maybe the people.
the people. San Antonio was really weird.
Wow.
Really weird. Not my favorite. No offense to San Antonio. Well, like the place where we were was right by the Alamo, which I didn't know was like the Fisherman's Wharf.
Riverwalk City.
Like a Ripley's, believe it or not, right across from the Alamo.
Yeah, and, very touristy.
Yeah, we had like a drunk guy take a phone call in the middle of the show and like kind of lost the audience, then got him back. So that was weird.
Right.
St. Louis, the theater was really fun, and we hung out with some of the people that were at the show at a bowling alley next door. I think that was like the most like
that was fun.
We got a vibe for a city, right, Brett? From the ones I was on.
Dan and Carl and I were the freak boys. We went out every night.
Yeah, the freak boys went out and got a drink or two every night.
Yeah, a reasonable amount of drinks so we could have a nice sleep. But what I was going to say was on the Canadian stretch, or when we went to Toronto, we were on a road trip basically, and Lisa Gilroy was in the car with us, and she's Canadian. And we were playing the radio, and it was just really interesting because like we'd hear mostly tracks we all knew. But then like this foreigner sounding classic rock song came on and like nobody knew it. We weren't even really paying attention. And she started singing all the lyrics. And then she was looking around like, wait, do you guys not know this? And then we were like, no, not at all. Never heard this once. And it sounded exactly like a song we would know, like an old foreigner hit or something.
Right, right.
And I would go, no, like, who is this? She's like, she was mind blown. You're telling me you guys have never heard this song. Everyone knows this song.
Yeah.
And it's this group called Trooper. Have you ever heard of them?
Never.
Never in your life, right?
Mm-mm.
It didn't make it an inch past Canada. And everyone in Canada, she's saying, knows this song. It's like old hat radio.
That's crazy.
It's just really interesting. Like you'd when you look at,
yeah, because they're so close, you'd think even the radio would come across the border.
Yeah,
I do know that they have government subsidies and stuff that those stations have to play, like a certain percentage of Canadian
20% Canadian music, I guess.
So that there's definitely going to be stuff that's a hit there just because they have to, you know, meet those.
Yeah, right. It's just really funny that is a hit there. But it would have just gotten swallowed up, I think.
Yeah. I could see us having laws like we won't let that stuff across the border.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're in that 20%, you specifically are banned from the U.S.
Trooper sounds aggressive. Sounds like a military action.
We don't want that. All right. Coming in at number three.
Number three.
This is Eliza Rose with BOTA, which is baddest of them all.
She's the baddest of them all.
This could be about the queen.
Good. She's a fitting tribute.
The baddest of them all. She's the baddest of them all.
How about that?
All right.
Hey, definitely. I think we got to do a transplant on the next one or something.
Okay, yeah. It's Louis Capaldi, which I remember from a previous chart a long time ago. It's not
He's one of the 1D scrubs, isn't
he? Oh, he is?
I think so. Liam and Louis.
Louis Capaldi.
Maybe. We'll have our research department check it out.
Okay.
But that's another sped up disco. Like that's really hitting in London or something.
I guess their response to morning is hitting the dance floor, which is, you know, their break out of the Great Depression, their swinging 20s.
Right. Yeah. Let's get fucking cranked up.
How do the charts work?
Plow ahead.
Like, because it seems like it's a lot of house music and dance music. Is that because that's like what people are downloading so that they can play at clubs the most, or what's most radio play?
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's Apple Music, so I don't know how that would color the situation.
It could be that it's such a fractured market that it doesn't take a lot to make you one of the top five. So if there's like a new dance hit. It kind of rises pretty quick because, like, what else is going to beat it?
Mm-hmm.
Could possible.
Yeah, I don't know. That could just be where that culture is at right now. Like, it does feel.
Hey, I got some news from research.
Okay.
This Louis Capaldi guy, mm-hmm. he looks like one of the guys you would see at the Pavement show, but like if it was like he came with his dad.
Yeah.
Kind of looks like Wolfgang a little bit. Wolfgang Van Halen.
Yeah.
He said that he's got Tourette's syndrome. I think he might be one of those singers from, you know, one of those talent shows.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's an interesting thing on TikTok that I read about of like young teen girls sort of pretending they have Tourette syndrome or a lot of people are doubting the real of it. But like they're all it's like this trend almost
they've affected it.
Yeah, I have Tourette's and let me walk you through what the symptoms look like. and then they sort of like loudly or whatever go through their tweet, you know, what do they call them, twitches or
yeah
and it's like it's this interesting thing because they all have the same phrases they use and the same sort of what symptoms which people are saying like isn't really
it's learned behavior
yeah
but is it
I'm trying to think of the phrase. There's one in particular that's so strange.
It's more specific than just like, fuck shit, fuck.
Way more specific. It's like, you would, it's like, as if I would, I don't know. I can't remember the exact phrase.
I saw one like that and just took it at face value. Cause it didn't seem like a thing anyone would ever publicly make up about themselves.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's crazy.
I read the controversy about it.
It seems like speaking in tongues, you know, and you see those, that happening at Southern churches, but they all do it the same way. Like the devil takes them all over the same.
Right. Yeah.
Either the devil is getting a little hack or...
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Why does the moves. Devil have a new fucking move, a new dialect?
All right, coming in. Oh, wait, what's your transplant?
Oh, this is... I don't know. I may have known this happened, but I kind of forgot. This is Brian May, the lead guitarist from Queen, and he does God Save the Queen on the roof of Buckingham Palace like 2002 for the Jubilee. So I don't know. It's pretty striking. You guys won't see the video, of course, but he's up on the roof. It's like pretty crazy that they let him up there.
I can show you the video too.
And he's up on the roof and he does, you know, a blistering version of... Party Palace.
He does have a famous version of this song.
And this is it, right?
Not this live version, but this is probably the most epic.
This is like their version of Jimmy at Woodstock.
Yeah.
That sounds like the American version right there.
Hell yeah.
Wouldn't you think they would have not let him up there?
No, that's the thing. All of this is endorsed by the Queen, Her Majesty. Yeah. You got to hand it to her. I might cry.
He's imitating the pitch of the corgis. You hear that? The corgis went nuts while this thing was going. They must have had earmuffs on him or something. That's like fireworks times 10.
God, he's so far away from the crowd.
Yeah.
Oh, there's Roger Taylor, the drummer.
And then it looked like they had Paul Schaefer hitting a gong.
That's
probably,
That's the British equivalent of Paul Schaefer. Oh, man.
Epic.
That's really good.
The king will never get that. No one's ever going to do that for Charles.
No. I love Brian May so much. I love Queen so much.
Have I told you that story about when I was like 12, I called into a radio station to complain that Brian May was underrated?
Really?
My friends were all sitting there by the phone. We're going, he's the most underrated guitarist of all time.
I love that. Yeah. How could he possibly be underrated?
Was it back and forth you had with the host? Did they like get into it with you, or did they give you your space?
I don't remember if we were on air. It was just one of those first time you ever did something. Somebody picked up the phone. We probably just started talking.
Is that why you started a podcast, so you could finally have a mouthpiece to talk about?
Yeah, basically.
Brian May.
Yeah, I will say the first time I ever went overseas, like to Europe, I was amazed at how much Queen stuff there was. Like, I was like, oh, this band is bigger than anything, you know, and this was like in the 90s, like they were definitely higher rated than they are in the US at that time, at least. Like, they were still being actively worshipped.
It's because it's a great merch move to call yourself Queen and be from Britain. You know, I mean, you could sell your stuff right alongside, you know, Royal merch.
Yeah. That's hand-built. He built that guitar himself. He's an astrophysicist.
Okay, so what about that? Because it sounded cool to me, but I couldn't tell that from, like, if some college student was like, let me play God Save the Queen. Like, I don't know why that was particularly better than...
Maybe just because he originated that sort of guitar tone or something.
The sound.
I mean, he's got a very signature tone. But also, he's got a very signature way of like phrasing, which is like how he's playing those notes. Like, yeah. I can definitely tell that's him.
Yes,
the way he phrases those licks, and like the way he'll hit a note in a way that makes it like scream a little bit.
Yeah. Death on Two Legs. There's a sick solo on that. The first track of A Night at the Opera. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's a great way to start an album. That song.
Yeah, with a guitar solo too.
Yeah. Man, it's too bad. Bohemian Rhapsody was such an absolute atrocious movie. Again, I just saw that on the plane ride back from the tour. I watched after the first time.
Oh my God.
I thought you were going to go after the song. I was like, wait, what?
Oh, no.
That song. I feel like I've listened to Queen less the past few years because I listened to them like religiously growing up. All the time. They were like the band. And I think at some point I might have like tired myself out. And I haven't like sat down and put on like Night at the Opera.
Yeah, I'm sure I like that as well. Yeah.
It's funny. They keep ripping in the movie. They relentlessly rip on Roger Taylor for the I'm in Love with My Car, that song.
Yeah.
Opens Night at the Opera. And it's a great song.
Or
it kicks ass.
Maybe it opens.
But that's like an ongoing punchline in the movie.
That's incredible.
And it's
that
like,
song fits. I mean, it does.
And there's no vindication for him. But. In the movie, there's no vindication ever where he goes, hey, that was actually turned out great, right? And it opened our best album ever. It's like they just keep ripping them on it. It's so weird the way they
I'm kind of with them. Roles. I think those lyrics are really stupid.
It's stupid, but it's also being sarcastic.
Yeah, it's like
with Freddie Mercury singing it, it always sounded like he was making fun of, like, you know, overly macho.
That's what he's doing. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And it's Roger singing.
But okay.
He's the one
feel for my
he's also he's the one who has the highest voice of the group.
Really?
He's the one doing those Figaro vocals.
Bismillah. Yeah. Wow, I did not know
that's
that.
That's Roger Taylor, yeah.
I would love if he made In Love With My Car as like a response to Bohemian Rhapsody and had his own movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's way better.
And they're always making fun of his song. And he's like, nah, man. Yeah. You'll find out. History's on my side.
Yeah. That was their secret weapon, was that his voice was almost like Rod Stewart level good. And Brian May's voice, he easily could have led a band himself. It's so good, his voice.
Does he sing any songs?
Yeah, he sings a lot. He sings 39, that song on Night of the Opera.
Oh, In the Year of 30, that's a great song.
It's a great song. That's he sings a ton. He sings...
Even when I think back, I don't...
Yeah, he sings a bunch of them. I mean, they're all capable of like leading the band. It's just like a disgusting amount.
They could have been a boy band if they didn't have the instruments. They could all just went out there singing.
Yeah. John Deacon would be the scrub.
Yeah. Freddie with his half a mic stand.
Yeah.
The guy had a signature mic stand.
Oh, my God. Even that had a horrible scene in the movie.
Really?
Where it's as if he's having a lot of trouble with the mic stand, and so it just rips off, and that becomes his signature thing.
Oh, right. Like it's he's like, headed outstage. And he's
yeah.
Biopics are the worst.
All right. Where are we? Coming in at number two. One.
Number We're at one. One.
David Guetta and Baby Rexha with I'm Good.
I'm down for the ride, baby. Don't you know I'm good? Yeah, I'm feeling all right. Cause I'm good. Yeah, I'm feeling all right.
Oh, wow.
Baby, I'm gonna have the best fucking night of my life. And wherever
I mean, how many times can David Guetta have a hit with that? It's like, it's just always that. David this Guetta.
Is, yeah.
It's just always that.
This is just a full on like, cover of that song.
Yeah, I think respect must be paid to Eiffel 65 for what they've, for the trails they've blazed.
Oh, is that the original of what that is?
Yeah, I'm blue, da ba dee da ba da.
But then how does Guetta always get paid off of it?
Has he done that before?
Yeah, I mean, it always sounds exactly like that. It just sounds like he just knows there'll be a new generation of kids who like are new to the drugs and just want that lick, you know, that thing.
Yeah, it's funny when you find out, you like see dance music DJs and they're all like weird, like bloated dudes, like later in life. And you're like, oh, you took like 3 decades to figure out how to just make the same song over and over again.
You just stood there.
I never realized Eiffel 65A did that song and that they were like an Italian group.
Oh, I didn't know they were one of the biggest. I think I probably assumed they were French. Probably,
yeah, that's what I thought they were French. They're probably in the Alps. They're doing both.
Yeah. Well, I think
that's this a big. I hear that on TikTok a lot, so that's probably how I made number one. It's used as a sound a lot.
I mean, this has got to be kind of a low point for the British charts.
I would say so. They've lost their way.
Some of the best music of all time under Her Majesty. And
they're busy. I think they got discouraged when Ed Sheeran popped out of all of them. They're like, God, what does the world want from us? We're not, you know.
The world wants Sheeran and Corden, I guess.
Yeah. Sheeran and Corden. God. It used to be glamorous. We used to have Posh Spice.
Approachable, potentially annoying, like schlubby white guys.
British Seth Rogans.
Thrusting at your car window.
Right. Well, we hope they make it out of this tough time. And of course, Americans are fascinated with the royals, and we'll band together as brotherly nations and help
it's
them.
For Prince William, this must be getting real at this point. You know what I mean? Like, he's got to be thinking, wow, I am going to be king.
Right.
Like, pretty soon.
How old's Charles?
He's got to be 70s, maybe even 80s.
Yeah, he's got to be way up there.
You know, maybe. And he's not looking in good shape. He's 73.
Maybe William will quit the way, and it'll go to a girl the way it went to Elizabeth because. That guy Edward. Quit before her uncle.
Maybe.
And we got 2 more seasons of The Crown. They'll be coming out soon. So everybody jump on board with that.
Right. And
I almost did start it when she died. I was like, maybe this is the reason to start the show.
It's really, really good. There's no reason we would be raving about it. I mean, it's really good.
It is very good.
It's family dynamics. It's history. It's good. Well done. Good job.
I'm in a lore phase right now. I think because I'm back in with Rings of Power. I ended up going into The Hobbit now, and I'm like, I like big lore in this moment.
Definitely, me too.
So maybe The Crown works for that.
I don't know, maybe, but this is not your fiction. There's no dragons. There's no made-up countries. It's just going to be Britain.
Okay. We'll see what they do with the next 2 seasons.
maybe some Jabberwockies will show up. All right, we will be right back with the movies chart.
Greetings, Chartists. I'm here to tell you about Factor. They're sponsoring today's episode. and I am a big fan of Factor. I've been subscribing myself to their meal service, and I love it. So I'm not just a podcaster, I'm a client. So eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. They're not lying right there. Every single meal is 2 minutes flat in the microwave. I wouldn't even mind cooking for 3 minutes. I mean, I have a spare minute, but no, 2 minutes, you're good. It's hot, it's delicious, it's fresh tasting. I don't know how they do it. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. I think I'm on the Protein Plus. I love it. And it feels like no two meals are alike. There's a lot of options there. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. I actually haven't taken advantage of that yet. I'm excited to. That sounds great. I have had some of their drinks. They got some like smoothies and like cold brew lattes. They're delicious, and they're just perfect on the go, super quick. I often forget to eat. I got all these podcasts I'm making, recording, editing. Oops, I'm all of a sudden starving. I have no time to eat. And Factor has been a godsend for that reason. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. And if you're looking for something even more gourmet, try these premium ingredients they have, like filet mignon shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Wow, this is giving me all sorts of ideas to upgrade my next delivery. So it's no fuss, no mess meals. Totally eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You just throw it in the microwave, and it's so good. And the textures are all right. It's not like microwave dinners of old that are like encrusted onto the plastic. No, this feels like somebody made this dinner from scratch for you and just put a little plastic over it. It's fully ready to heat up and serve. Tailored to your schedule, you can customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. You can pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. I had to take a couple weeks off at one point. It was super easy to go to the website, just skip a week here and there. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. You say it's your Earth Day. Well, happy Earth Day to you. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. That's pretty cool. So head to factormeals.com/WhoCharted50 and use code WhoCharted50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. Wow, that's code WhoCharted50 at factormeals.com/WhoCharted50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Factor.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
When you guys were in Missouri, did you go to Chuck Berry's restaurant?
No. We might have been near a thing that was Chuck Berry related, but we were in the Loop is what the area was called, but we didn't go to...
Yeah, they have a restaurant called Blueberry Hill or something
like that. Yep, that was across the street from where we ate.
Oh, I wish I knew that was Chuck Berry. I would have pushed for that maybe.
And then he would just show up there and play sometimes, even when he was real old.
Oh, wow. Good pull. We went to a barbecue place that the Sklars recommended to me.
Was it good?
It was pretty good.
They're famous for barbecue.
Yeah,
the worst part is I like the Sklar
Brothers.
Sklars are known for their barbecue. And is it more vinegary or?
It comes at you fast from two waiters. You get two waiters every meal.
You can order it Randy or Jason.
Your drinks have some glasses on them.
Yeah.
That's how you know diet from regular.
Yeah, or that's how you can tell the pork from the pulled pork. They put glasses on.
All right, welcome to the movie chart. So we hit the theme song.
Let's do it.
All right.
Movies, they're just like tweets. They release them constantly. Most of them we don't need to see. But when you get a good one, ooh-wee, movies.
This is the movie chart. We'll see what's bringing them back into theaters this fall.
All right. I'll share my screen here so you guys can see the trailers. Coming in at number five, Top Gun Maverick. Sorry, I sped through that one.
It's okay. We've seen this quite a bit.
Who the hell is that?
It's been in the top five all summer.
Entering Point Alpha.
I forgot John Hamm was in it.
Maverick, range control. Green range is confirmed. I don't see an event scheduled for you, sir.
Well, I'm going anyway.
Nice.
Whoa. Holy shit. 2 minutes, 15 seconds. God damn.
Still haven't seen it.
Different. This guy seems different.
That movie fucking ruled.
Yeah, I've heard.
Did you guys see the clip of Cruise on the like biplane?
Oh my god, yeah, on the biplane.
Wow.
Howard, did you see that?
No.
All right.
That should be number one. That's an amazing
clip. It's one of the most stunning stunts like I've seen in a long time, and it was just for a promo that was only for sort of like executives to see, right?
I think so. It was like the movie theater like gathering of like theater people.
I have a new theory about Tom Cruise.
What's that?
I think he sold his soul to the devil, and the price was that he had to like risk his life publicly like 50 times.
Yeah, once a year.
And he just has to go out and do that stuff to satisfy Satan.
Yeah, here it is. I'll fast forward through it.
He's crazy.
So the camera zooms out. This is him.
Oh my god, you're out of your
dude,
mind.
Dude, you're flipping out now. Just wait for the end here.
Oh my god.
Let me find the. Watch this. He stands up. Watch this. When.
All right, we'll.
And action! We'll see you at the movie.
Watch this.
No, come on now.
Dude, the plane dips 90 degrees and dives with him standing on it.
How the hell did he stay on there?
That, I think that's the coolest thing anyone's ever done.
Oh my god,
it's so insane.
It's so crazy.
That's just a promo?
It's just a promo and like a niche promo.
Who risked his life for a promo?
It was for CinemaCon, which is like not, it's not like a commercial.
He's like single-handedly saving Hollywood. Like he's the only guy doing necessary what it takes to get people back in seats.
It's true. Right. It's he really figured out because like he's for everything we know about him an abhorrent man, and yet like he is the one person left that we as a society are all like we understand. But what he does is we still want to see it. He's still like a classic movie star that like his personal life will all throw it away because it's so cool that he jumps off of tall buildings.
Yeah. But it's like a Jesus complex or something. He's like he wants to show the world him performing miracles.
Yeah.
You know?
I think you nailed it. That must be exactly what it is.
Yeah, because he's the Jesus of Scientology. Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Wow. Well, it's
And it's a thing we never asked for from him. It's like we never asked for Tom Cruise to be a stunt guy.
Never.
And yet he's holding.
Maybe it's like there's so many skeletons buried in this Scientology thing with Miscavige and all that.
Yeah,
that he's just like, I have to do this to like balance.
Yeah, maybe Miscavige is behind him right there with a gun to his back. You know,
that's who signed the deal with Satan for him.
All right. Well, coming in at number four, we got DC League of Super Pets.
Those should be corgis. And I really feel like
Yeah.
They should have made those corgis in honor of the queen.
It's inappropriate.
They should have re-edited that.
Yeah.
They wanted to sell in Britain.
Sonic style.
Yeah.
The trailer for that, I saw it before some movie, had the least personality of any trailer I've ever seen.
Sure. No, yeah, none.
It's just like, hey, sit your kids down. You know what you're going to get here. It's right, The Rock generic as Superman's movie. Dog or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, I will never see that in my life. I can say that with more certainty than most things.
I'll get it on DVD.
Yeah? Picture disc or no?
If it'll be picture disc because all kids' movies are picture disc. But
Oh, yeah, Dan, you were saying you saw Poppin' Case, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, on TikTok, right.
Yes, I have a TikTok burner account that I use, and I came across it, and it was a movie that is, like, meaningful to me, so I was trying to remember what movie it was, because...
Is it an older movie?
Probably a 90s one. Oh, I know what it was. It was Little Monsters.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Oh, you have a little okay, Little Monsters. Tell them it's Mandel.
Yeah, Howie Mandel and both Savage brothers, but mostly Fred Savage and Daniel Stern. Their parents are going through a divorce, and the experience of, like, parents going through a divorce is being mirrored by Fred Savage discovers there's monsters under his bed, namely Howie Mandel, and they form a bond and relationship as Little Monsters.
Right, and he helps them through his family issues and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good premise.
Did this help you through a tough time when you were a youngster?
I didn't really, like, experience what was going on in it. I've been thinking a lot lately about how, like, for my generation, a lot of our favorite movies were just defined by programming on, like, Comedy Central and TBS, and it's just like, I happen to love Kids in the Hall and, like, late 80s, early 90s SNL because that's what was on my TV all the time.
Yeah. Right. Dictating your...
Yeah, and this was one of those movies I think that I became obsessed with. Like, it started for that reason, but I used to have... The movie ends, I don't want to spoil anything, but part of the plot is Fred Savage starts to realize he's becoming a monster. And if he doesn't make it out from the underground into daylight by a certain time, he'll become a monster forever at the end of the movie. So they are underground.
Stakes, baby.
They're running from, they're trying to chase the sun, basically, as it moves across the country. Underground, they're going to, like, Utah, whatever, and they pop up and they're like, it's too late, the sun's up.
Well, that's way cooler of a subplot than I gave it credit for.
Yeah, it's a fun little thing. And I used to have a recurring dream that was happening to me. So the movie is, like, very in my, like, subconscious in some way, where I would be like, I would always wake up crying because in the dream I made it out at the end with my friends.
Oh, wow. So it's a happy cry.
It's a happy cry.
Cathartic cry. Star, that probably resonates with you as you take alleys. You know, you just use the alleys to get places.
And I see people wearing jackets, like Howie Mandel's cool jacket. And I'm like, yeah, he's got a great leather jacket that's very noisy.
Did you see that Ben Savage is, like, running for office now? Like some local LA office?
No.
Yeah.
I saw that Fred was getting dragged for his behavior on sets, but...
Oh, well, Ben is even worse, like, from what I've heard.
Oh, really?
And even one time I saw him at Barney's Beanery. I was out, like, getting drinks with friends. It's a long time ago. But Ben Savage was in there. And just from that small window of experience with it, he was, like, one of the biggest douchebags I've ever seen in a bar. He was, like, harassing everyone, drunken misconduct, you know, everywhere. He sucked that night.
To be fair to him, that's like how they tell you to behave when you walk through the door of Barney's Beanery.
Yeah, for people exactly. That's to be that
is the vibe.
To cause
competitive drunken douche.
Right. To stand out at Barney's Beanery in that crowd was tough back then.
Yeah.
Right. It's like 2000s Barney's Beanery. Wow. I mean, from what I've heard,
Savage Bros or Savage Boys.
Pretty coked up place.
Yeah.
But and then not to spoil anything else, but yes, it turned out to be picture disc. Little Monsters has a great picture disc featuring Fred and Howie.
And 'Tis the Season, are you going to be watching it as we lead up to Halloween?
I guess now I should check it out. Yeah, this is a great time of year to check that out.
Yeah.
Now, with your recommendation, I will watch it.
Wow. It's one of those ones where I don't. Sometimes you can full-throatedly recommend things, and sometimes it's like, this has so much nostalgia, I have no idea if someone would like it now.
Okay. All right. No judgment. Yeah. I'll just watch it with an open mind.
Thank you.
I'm sure it's better than Little Giants.
I mean, you don't get Ed O'Neill at his best. Quick side note, his like substitute coach in that is like a comedic role guy, like his assistant coach. And he taught commercial acting classes at USC, and I took his class. And the first day of class, he showed his reel, and I dropped the class. I was like, I don't think that that's...
He needed you to see his reel. Yeah. Like, that's amazing. Oh, man. He must have had no... what do you call it? Solipsis? What is it? Teacher...
The synopsis? Or the...
it's like the curriculum. The day?
Syllabus.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you for that.
Might be a great guy. I took that the wrong way. I thought it was a little weird.
But yeah. All right. Coming in at number four.
Number four.
Or sorry, this is number three.
Number three.
Bullet Train.
I'm not that guy anymore.
Some conflicts require a gun.
Hey, this is nice. Okay, what am I?
You know, this is directed by his former stunt double.
Really?
Is that true?
Yeah, his stunt double for many years became a director. And so to do this with a stunt double directing, it's there's kind of a...
That's interesting. You know,
interesting.
Oh, wow.
Because that's what was... Because he directed John Wick, right? And that was like stunt people behind that movie, I guess, including him.
Wow. That's a real like leapfrog in the industry.
It almost sounds like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Like if Brad Pitt's character became a director and directed...
It's like a reverse Tom Cruise, you know, going from stuntman to directing. And
All right.
I tell
you, Tom Cruise must look at that and go, what's this guy doing? Right. He was at the pinnacle. What's he doing?
You had it, man. Movie, didn't love it, but worth seeing for Michael Shannon's wig at the end, or just Google his wig in it. It is an amazing, hilarious wig.
Okie doke.
Michael Shannon's great.
I love him.
Yeah. All right. Coming in at number two.
Number two.
This is Brahmastra. Let's see.
Is this foreign for Black Adam?
Jal.
What is this?
Oh, no. It's the story of Shiva.
Agni.
Looks like a, you know,
it's made in India.
Bollywood movie, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, number two.
Looks epic.
Looks good.
Does. Well, yeah, looks epic. I'm ready for other countries to just like take over.
Me as well.
Filmmaking, especially like this kind of film. I just feel like...
Yeah, bring something new to it that we wouldn't think of. Out-of-the-box culture.
They're bringing back RRR in theaters in LA, I think, at the end of September. That's one that I'd like to see in theaters because I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't seen it yet. I've heard nothing but amazing things.
And they're bringing back Avatar.
The first one?
Yeah, that's right.
First one.
Yeah, the first one. You wonder if they're going to treat these movies like Avatar, like video games, like, you know, just doing like remastered versions 10 years after, because they're all CGI at this point.
Right.
You wonder if they just go, hey, we upgraded the graphics. Like, here's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. New and improved Avatar.
Yeah.
Probably people like James Cameron and what's his name? Lord of the Rings will always be doing that because they love technology so much.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it informs their filmmaking. I guess, Jaws just came back out at IMAX in 3D. So that's a retrofit right
3D.
There.
Do you, Dan, you said you've been watching Rings of Power?
Yes.
I'm only like an episode or two in, but I'm liking it. Do you like it?
Loved it. I came in with like incredibly low expectations. Me I think too. Amazon's marketing department should all be fired. They made it look so bad, and yeah. it's actually like really awesome.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
I'm and it's like it gets the had a bad taste in my mouth with like the Hobbit, the movies. I didn't like them. But I love Lord of the Rings, like the trilogy, just so much.
I really
feels like back to that.
My friend Joel was telling me this, which I thought was funny, and they showed it at the end, but like the only rights they had was to the appendices of the books, and I thought that right. was so funny to have to make really a whole funny. TV show off of the appendices.
But Tolkien's appendices are like a full books unto themselves.
Yeah.
So
yeah. they could still make something.
Yeah.
But it's great. It's like it's really fun to just jump from world to world. Like I could just watch a show that's like, all right, we're with the dwarves for a bit. Now we're jumping over here to the elves. Like I would watch million episodes of that with a bunch of money.
And then
you
can also jump over to Thursday Night Football, make it a whole.
Yeah, there you go.
I would love
orcs.
That.
Okay, that's just like the orcs. But and then it's fun like having Game of Thrones out at the same time and watching that. And it reminds me like why I really like both.
I never got into Game of Thrones.
So. Oh, okay.
Love that. Yeah. I never hear that on this program.
Is that true?
Thank you, Dan. Yes.
No, but man, it's so good. It's not cool to not like it. It's good. It just is good.
I want to go to that world. I'll listen to a couple Zeppelin tunes, and then I'm back.
That's Lord of the Rings, bro. All his characters. That's Lord of the Rings. That's Zeppelin.
I mean, it's all that wacky England, but with monsters. It's all the same.
Dude, Game of Thrones is more like The Crown than it is like Lord of the Rings, to be honest. It's just a lot of human intrigue, you know.
Right on. Brutal. Yeah, dynamics, character dynamics.
But then Lord of the Rings is fun because it's like, oh yeah, this is a creature, like you get to just, you're in this wonderland of amazing creatures and adventures and stuff. It's just a very different spin on fantasy.
Yeah. I was watching 3,000 Years of Longing, the Robert, or what's that guy's name that made it? The guy that did, this is getting boring. Fury Road, the guy that directed
Fury Road.
Oh, I
love Fury Road, yeah.
But
I have it on picture disc.
It's like a lot of it is about like the idea of like our obsession with like how myth and gods have gone away because of Marvel movies and like the way we use movies to like be our new myth and gods and how I thought that was interesting.
I noticed your mic stand is coming off. Are
I'm
you doing
becoming
Freddie Mercury?
And, and from that day on.
Can you strut around your room there?
Okay, yes.
Dido, dido, dido. Dido, 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 dido. Dido, dido. All right, coming in at number one.
Number one.
This is the movie I saw. This is Barbarian.
Ooh. Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
Great.
Yeah?
This is 476 Barbary, right?
Yeah, I'm renting this place.
No, I booked it a month ago.
Are you sure you have the right place?
Yeah. Who am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Why don't you come inside?
Were you in a highly paid focus group, Stark?
No, don't get the wrong idea from this. It's really good. It's really, really good.
What, it's a horror movie?
It's a horror movie, but it's really surprising. Like, don't, if you're at all interested in this movie, anyone out there, don't look up anything. Don't even like look up the cast because it's just full of like great surprises.
Now we know really the surprise is great.
Yeah.
Yep, you spoiled it. I'm going to be waiting the whole movie and be like, I wonder if that's a surprise.
I will say like, it's almost like an Airbnb horror or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spoiled, but, ruined. I'm just going to go see Avatar again.
Okay. But it's fun to be able to say I saw a movie that's on the charts for once.
Well done.
Thank you for doing
that's
that.
Been like a disservice to the show for a while.
You're the whole movie department of the show.
But it's great. I'm glad it's number one. I felt like a good theater movie.
They probably didn't want to spoil it, but it's funny because some movies will happen where I saw the trailer for like Candyman 400 times because they started playing it so early before it came out.
Yeah.
And Barbarian, I saw like I saw it on like a Wednesday, the trailer, and then the movie came out on a Friday. Like I just assumed it was going to be, it's weird how quickly it dropped. Oh, like
they snuck it out so people wouldn't get the word about the surprise. Maybe,
yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. I hadn't even heard of its existence until I went because a group was going, you know, it's like I learned about it at the same time I watched it, which is a fun way to take it in, honestly.
That's very cool. You know, that's how I did when Blair Witch came out. It was just like somebody told me, hey, we're going to this party. We're all going to watch this movie. And I was like, oh, shit. Okay. Like, I didn't know what it was.
Were you like crying in the corner? I can't imagine you enjoyed Blair Witch.
Well, the thing was, it was at a beach house, like a really sweet beach house.
Oh, wow.
I was just way more just like looking around going, yeah, this place of business. I like this. And then everybody's just screaming in the other room.
You know? Yeah. That's hilarious.
But it has those, there are those moments in there that definitely deliver. It's just kind of, it's like slow, you know, low punch. But there you go. Exciting stuff. Back at the theaters, and we'll be right back with the hot picks. The hot picks. The hot picks. The third chart is the hot picks, and the countdown's about to start. Let's see who brought a hot pick, and let's see who did not. The hot picks. The hot picks. These are the hot picks. Let's see if we did better than Shazam. It's possible.
All right. Coming in at number five.
Number five.
This one, I have no idea what to expect. This is Howard's pick. This is Ozzy Osbourne, One of Those Days, featuring Eric Clapton. There was a time in my life where this would be incredibly exciting, and at this time, I'm not so sure.
I hope it's right a cover of the Limp Bizkit
song. Out of respect to the king, you know, these two Brits, let's give them a chance.
It's possible they recorded this before the pandemic. We could say that.
Okay.
So maybe it's like Ozzy didn't know yet that Clapton was.
That's true. That's very true.
Possible.
Okay. That almost sounds like New Country.
Yeah.
That chorus, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're right.
That is really not what I was expecting from Ozzy. But not bad. Not altogether bad.
The lyrics kind of
got the anti-Jesus stuff.
Yeah.
And the voodoo child kind of sound. It almost sounds like
Clapton noodling over it.
Yeah.
That was definitely emailed to them. You know what I mean? Like, that's definitely not Clapton's like riff. Or like main song.
Right.
It was definitely sent to him to just go, hey, like do some soloing over this.
Yeah. And I think it had to be remote because he wouldn't agree to like catch Ozzy's germs, like standing in a studio with
him. Or maybe he demanded to come. Like he hates all the COVID protocols.
They're true.
Maybe he's like,
Ozzy, no mask. If you wear a mask, I'm walking out. No mask. Hey, but another thing that makes this a very interesting album is that it's the first British album of note released under the King. Came out this past Friday, and the Queen passed on what, Tuesday or Thursday or something like that?
Wow.
So it wasn't recorded in the King's era, but it was released. So if it's not very good, this is a bad start. This is a bad start for King Charles' album.
This has to do well or it doesn't portend very well.
I've heard enough of this album to say it's worth it. Like, Ozzy sounds good.
Yeah, he does sound good.
It's pretty strong.
And there's Pearl Jam bass, Pearl Jam guitarist does a track with him.
Oh, really? Interesting. Yeah. He's almost doing the like Santana method of like late album, you know, comebacks.
Yeah.
Where bring you just in get some all mercenaries, the pair yeah. with the yeah. names, have a nice sit down.
Right on.
I give Clapton almost a half a break because it turns out he's just deathly afraid of needles. Which which I think is probably the case for a lot of anti-vaxxers. Like I had that theory.
Because of like his heroin history?
Well, that's an interesting wrinkle to throw in there. I don't know if he was someone who shot it or snorted it. Yeah. I don't know.
No wonder he's so into cocaine because it doesn't take a needle.
Right. Yeah. I think he's just acting out because he's so afraid of the damn syringe.
Right. He just loves cocaine and writes it a tribute song. Goes up your nose. It's the greatest.
It's so good.
I'll meet the devil at the crossroads, but I will not take a needle.
Right. Yeah. All right, coming in at number four.
Number four.
This is my first pick. This is Non Plus Temps with Continuous Hinge. Cool sound, right?
Yeah. It's a muddy, very muddy sound, but very funky.
Yeah. I love the sound of the band, like what all the instruments just sounds different to me.
Yeah.
Like sounds British too. This could be the comeback we're looking for in the Kings era.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
A British-sounding band.
It might have been the Queen's, you know, like final shot.
Yeah, like, she might have exec producer say.
Right. One new sound, you know, to close it out.
They brought her in like Rick Rubin to clean up everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Barefoot.
She's just there barefoot. Yeah.
The Chili Peppers could use her, I think.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. They
played out the Rick Rubin thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Coming in at number three.
Number three.
This is Dan's pick. This is Beach Bunny with Dead Weight.
I like that. That's very direct. She's just speaking her mind directly.
It is direct. It. I think there's like a nostalgia to it. Like it reminds me of like '90s pop punk music. I think that's why I like them.
Right.
The Rolling Stone review I read was like, you could easily see these songs at the end of like Can't Hardly Wait or one of those movies.
It's
right.
Yep. On a cassette, you know, a is that what you make for someone?
Is that where you learn about the songs? In Rolling Stone?
No, I was just reading up about them before the like I liked their last album a lot. Uh-huh. And then this album is like there's not a, like a banger on it as much as I thought from their last album, but it's like a fun background music album and I was just kind of curious about them.
Right on. They got a good name too.
Yeah.
Beach Bunny.
All right, coming Summer in vibes. At number 2.
Number 2.
This is my second pick. This is Lewis Cole with I'm Tight. This one's really, really unusual, I think. Here we go.
Understand. 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 Not a star. That's way too far. But we'll be blowing kisses from above the bar. I don't know. Maybe I do. Good is good. Fame is more.
That's
I want to hear the chorus, damn it.
That fits in with that British stuff. It's like a sped up disco kind of sound. This is a more of a lo-fi, like Prince kind of a disco sound.
Yeah.
I like
it. Oh, wait, listen to this part. Sorry. Nah, this isn't it. This is weird. It's definitely the song, but I thought it got to the chorus at that point. The chorus is interesting. Like he has more like hard charged word like lyrics in a way, and this whole thing
again?
Of I'm tight. Lewis Cole.
Oh, that's Lewis from One Direction. I like it. I like what he's doing with the production.
Yeah,
that was cool.
It almost reminds me of Cornelius, the Japanese artist, if you know know his stuff. It's like incredibly dry and like right in your ears, and he's playing a lot with like panning and stuff.
Yeah.
It's cool stuff.
Sometimes cool it's like really interesting music. I'm like, how do people take this in if they don't get high? Because sometimes like a lot of specific types of music is like, oh, this is for when you're high because there's so much going on. You can really like lock into it all.
Yeah.
Right. You put on
Then
headphones.
You meet a straight edge person who's into it. You go, there must be something wrong with it. You got a weird history, dating history, something weird with animals.
All right, coming in at number one.
Oh, yeah, number one. This is a cold pick.
This
is Kelly Clarkson remade 9 to 5 with Dolly Parton.
Oh,
and
wow. First mistake.
It's a joyful song as you remember it, right? Even though it's about working, there's juxtaposition. It's joyful music.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Well, Kelly had her own idea.
Boy.
I could play it from the beginning, I guess.
All right, here we go. Oh my God.
Oh boy.
It's like a funeral.
Yep.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the street, the traffic's jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. Make a living, barely getting by. It's all taken and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit.
Right.
It's enough to drive you crazy.
That's enough, right?
I mean,
oh yeah, that's a mistake.
Did you need a joyless version of that song that really brings home like the struggle and the just the sameness of work?
When you were,
I gotta,
go ahead, bro.
I gotta say, Dolly's little interjection there—you really could hear it as her commenting, like,
exactly,
like on Kelly's take.
Yes.
When
David
Lee
Roth,
right, Dolly?
Like when Roth would call out Wolfgang for the shitty backing vocals,
right?
Yeah, nice try.
Yeah,
it's all facetious.
When you were introing it, I was like, okay, I'm going to come into this with an open mind. We'll see. Maybe he's being harsh. And I don't have that much relation to Dolly Parton of the song. When it started, I was like upset.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize how like endemic that song is in like, I guess just like America in a sense. And it started and I was like, what the fuck did you do to this song? Like, was good.
Right. That's like our royalty. Don't fuck with our song. You know?
Don't fuck with Dolly.
I guess in some ways that it almost is like a commentary on, you know, the work culture. Like yeah. in the '70s or whenever it first came out, there was just a kind of playfulness of like going to work today, nine also, to five.
Yeah. And also you know? Women were new to the workforce. So there was right. an optimism like we're yeah. in now, we got this to deal with, but we'll keep going.
Yeah. This is like the brutal like, reality crashing in.
Yeah. This is like, you know, you're working at Sonic and you know, there's problems and there's yeah. mortgage problems right. and all kinds.
You never roller skated before.
Yeah.
Covers are so weird to me. Like, if you're not yeah. bringing anything, I guess she thought she was bringing something new to it. I don't know.
Especially like officially like recorded reading. Covers, like studio yeah. recorded, like promoted covers are very strange to me.
Yeah.
Like, you're just never going to really win.
I will say, I like someone switching it up, even if they're wrong, rather than just doing yeah. the completely faithful, like Phil Collins, Can't yeah. Hurry Love. But she just, wow. she didn't, you know, it's like a goalie. You got to, on the penalty kick, they get a guess left or right, and they're either going to be right or wrong.
right.
do something to it, though.
Penalty don't kick. Just stay in the middle.
right. Just kick it in the nuts.
yeah. I want you to weave that in for the Queen and our British listeners.
Yeah.
Shout out to them at this trying time.
That was beautiful.
Is that why yeah. Ted Lasso won at the Emmys?
Oh, it had to
British
be.
British soccer, and they're just giving it up.
That was had one for the be. Queen. Well, yeah. she's one of the main, she gets a large percentage of the Emmy vote, I think, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a fantasy show about how easy it would be to go over there and take over their national sport. So I can see why it's popular with Americans. totally. Once one American tries it, we'll be great at it. It'll be yeah. easy. Well, right on. This was a fun episode. Dan, thanks for coming back.
Thank you for having me. It's great to see you all again.
Yeah, super fun.
And check out Man Dog Pod, the improv and conversation podcast, and biggrandewebsite.com.
Please. And since it's Halloween-ish, go on to Paramount Plus and watch, what's the name of that movie that I was in? Paranormal Activity, Next of Kin. Yeah.
Of course.
Oh, nice. I'll yeah. watch that too. Next of Kin.
Great. I saw it last year. Enjoyed it.
Hey, you were thanks, great Brett. It. Thank you.
Right on. Congrats on that. Start.
Yeah. Let's just say go to whochartedpod.com, sign up for one of the tiers for Who Charted and get all the bonus goodies and all the content we have. We have, you know, like 12 years of content on there.
There
so
you go.
It's a great deal.
And all the premium streams.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Two Hooches. Charted every
Hooches.
Friday. We'll be recording one right now. We'll download after the show.
Yep. This past week, you had told your bear story. There's a bear that attacked Starred Alley Studios
That's
East.
Right.
Oh, my so, gosh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is
Check
everything
that
okay?
out on there.
Everything's fine. Yeah.
Actually, please don't tell them on air.
Tease it.
Okay.
Tease it. Over.
It's premium content. yeah.
You got to go there to find out if Starred lived through the bear attack.
Well, now, yeah. Now there's new creatures, you know, around here. So we'll talk about that on Two Charted.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
And also check out haveasummer.com/shop. Pick up an Austin Stories DVD, which is picture disc, and head on over to Grift Horse and Drop Date Duel. And we will see you right here next week on Who Charted.